Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Simon Barrett, and this is another edition of America's Most Unwanted. A look inside the, as you'll find out today, somewhat occasionally murky world of bail bonds. I had a fascinating chat with an attorney that specializes in the subject yesterday. I think I can summarize it to bail bonds, payday loans, and rental furniture are mostly evil unless you really, really need them. Bail bonds, in particular, have come under a great deal of scrutiny. Some politicians would like to see the demise of commercial bail in favor of more jobs and bigger jails in their district. Voters always like job creation, and construction is a favorite. Of course, what they don't hear is the cost, or maybe more importantly, who pays the tab. Yes, folks, it's the taxpayer. But enough of my ramblings. Let me introduce you to today's panel. We have a veteran bail bondsman and recovery agent, William Cobra Storbs. Cobra, good to chat with you.
Always good to chat with you, Simon.
And youngster on the block, bondsman and recovery agent Matthew Todd. Matt, how good to talk to you again.
Hey, Simon, thank you for having me on.
Okay. I don't know who started it, who found it, but I absolutely want to kick off with the what do they call themselves? The pink bounty hunters?
Lipstick bounty hunters.
Lipstick bounty hunters. I have to admit that I wasn't quite sure what we were going to chat about today, but I just spent an hour or 2 hours just on YouTube looking up these delightful gals. they're everywhere. They've been on Dr. Phil. That they made it to Geraldo Rivera. Now, quite honestly, I don't rate either of those people. I wouldn't watch them on a dare. But these gals are doing quite well, or not. Todd, You've seen the videos, and obviously you've done some research on the subject. Are they looking for a reality TV deal?
I would say it would be a safe yes. And after watching, the guy, the Duval, the guy that's claiming that he had his eye put out, the second time they caught him after the Arby's incident, I noticed he didn't even have a patch on. Nothing was ever said about his eye, and the next thing you know, he's got a patch, and now he's suing them for $1 million-something, and they're back on TV. So I'm you know what, I don't know. What do you think,
Cobra? Okay, for the sake of our listeners, why don't you explain the quote Arby's deal? What happened?
Okay. What happened is they went there to, I guess, revoke a bond for, I believe the guy's last name is Daniel Duvall, I believe. They went to take him into custody, and a struggle ensued. They chased after him. He ran into a car, which looked like had somebody already in it. And as he's trying to get into the car, they're spraying him with rubber bullets. And according to Duvall, one of them hit him in his eye, and he basically lost his vision in his eye. All right. Well, I guess they had somebody that gave him a tip that there were guns in his residence. And, of course, him being, you know, a felon, he's not supposed to have guns in possession. So they went to his house to arrest him. And it didn't seem like he tried to, you know, put up a fight. He was also, you know, had some documents in his hand claiming that, you know, he's gone to court, he's done this. But I guess they went in there based on the fact that there was guns in his possession. They saw it on his bed, and case in point, they took him under custody. But the funny thing was, is he was fine. Like, he was looking at the camera. There was no patch in the eye. He wasn't blinking any differently. And then all of a sudden, next thing you know, we got a lawsuit.
Right. And we just had someone join the switchboard. Area code 904. Is this Rod or who is it?
Yes, Simon. This is Rod. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How good to talk to you. You might have guessed that we decided to kick off with the interesting lipstick bounty hunter stories.
Ah. those wonderful ladies.
Those wonderful ladies. Well, one of the videos that I watched was an interview with Leonard Padilla, who unashamedly said on camera, "I am the world's greatest bounty hunter. If you can't find whoever it is you're looking for, give me the file, and 72 hours, I'll get him." And the lipstick bounty hunters, I'd employ them in a minute. How about you, Rod? Do you share Leonard's faith in them?
No, I don't. I really don't. I happen to know the ladies, and watched one of their apprehensions in a Taco Bell, and it was so comical, it was a shame. And not to say the guy got away after he'd been tased numerous of times. So, no, I wouldn't hire him. It's a liability.
Yeah, and liability is an important an important aspect here. Yeah, the last thing in the world you need is for a recovery agent, and it doesn't matter if they're male or female, or if there's three of them dressed in pink. But doing something stupid really, really doesn't help the cause, I wouldn't think.
Well, I don't know. The guy was sitting at the table who they went to apprehend, and there were four of them surrounded the guy, and they had two males sitting in the parking lot in cars, I come to find out later. And the males tried to stop the guy as he coming out. He got away from all four of the ladies who surrounded him, sitting at the table with his back to the wall. I don't know how he got away, but I'm watching the comic show. But I don't know. Maybe Cobra will hire him. He's an expert bounty hunter. What do you say, Cobra?
Well, you know, let's go to this incident. Basically, they were tipped off that the guy would be at this Arby's, and they, you know, they wanted to take him down. Ooh. Rod, got a lot of background noise there, brother.
Yeah, I know. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I said, basically, they got a tip-off that he was at this Arby's. So they went to this Arby's to try to make apprehension on him in a public place. Now, that's why we have a show like this, for some of the guys that want to learn how to do recovery or bounty hunting or whatever state you're in, whatever you call it. First and foremost, what we want to understand is we don't want to take on any unnecessary liability anytime. And that's why none of my guys, nor most people I know, we don't use rubber ball guns or anything like that. We use tasers, and if it gets out of hand, you know, we resort to the next thing. These girls, first of all, when they went in there, I mean, you know, they're sisters in the sisterhood, brotherhood of Bail Bonds, so I don't really want to tear their ass up too bad, and nor do I want to tear up on Padilla too bad, but there's a right way and a wrong way of doing things. There's many ways you can skin a cat, but you can only skin him once. And that was just a total, what the hell were you thinking moment to go in there and attempt that with civilians around, letting loose these rubber bullets. And so as I look at that, I look at the liability displayed and everything, but at the same time, I have to come to the aid of these girls and say, listen, according to Taylor versus Tainer, our profession is likened to that of an escaping prisoner from a sheriff. Now, if you are a prisoner and a sheriff is after you, deputy sheriff is after you, and you're escaping, he has the right to kill you. We do, too. We try to refrain from that shit, but actually they did no wrong as far as what they did to the guy, whether they shot him in the eye or they poked his eye out or didn't poke his eye out or, you know, busted his nose or any of that. He got it how he lived. But the problem is we try not to do that kind of stuff for the liability and the outfall to the surrounding folks. And, you know, we don't want to let nobody see us get our ass beat out there in public like they did and damn near get run over and all the crazy stuff that was going on. It was a total screw-up from Jump Street. But for Leonard Padilla to come on and write this video and said he's the best bounty hunter, you give me 72 hours if you've done run the guy and done all this stuff, 72 hours, and I'll have him in custody because I'm the best bounty hunter in the world. Listen, there ain't no best bounty hunters in the world. Everybody has that moment when they're in the spotlight and they did a good job and they got their guy and everybody went home and slept in their own bed. But there is no best in this business. Papa was probably one of the best of all of us. Hell, he got blown up in a damn car by one of his defendants. So there is no best. But that's the reason that we have a show like this, so we can talk to you and tell you, hey, listen, you know, when you go out there, I want you to be safe. I want you to use common sense. Use the approach of tact and use some tactical awareness. And don't be trying to do this kind of shit in broad daylight with a bunch of people standing around and cut loose on a paintball gun or a damn rubber bullet gun and do all that crazy stuff. It's just asinine, stupid. One thing, too, as I'd like to say, is the attorney that represented this guy surely didn't know the industry very well. he's telling that, you know, this was excessive use of force. If that had been us and it went wrong in that, you know, because we've had to take people down in Wendy's and Burger King and different places. Now, had that been our team and it went down ugly, he would have really thought we had excessive force because we'll nicely try to get the guy into custody. But when that fails, all hell's going to break loose. I think that, you know, there's too many cartoon characters running around out there displicting our business in a bad light. That is not what we stand for. That is not what we do. And there's a, you know, even though they have prior law enforcement experience, I damn sure didn't see any of that come to play at that particular incident. So I don't know what you guys think about it, but for me, it was just distasteful, and I don't want to be portrayed as that.
Rod,
go ahead.
What bothers me is the difference in attitudes, you know, when you move from state to state. Yes, there are different laws, but surely there should be some version of best practices.
Well, Simon, it is. The problem is, that's why they have Taylor versus Payne. But one of the problems is when that states come along and add to that federal law and make a state law that contradicts or counteracts the federal law. And one of the main problems is training. I think that is one of the biggest problems that we have is training. And issuing out something that you can't issue, which is common sense. Because I found out in life that sense is not common. And that's one of the problems in which we're having. You're using ordinary people or citizens that comes into our profession and they seen this betrayed on television or in law enforcement, and they want to come and do the same thing. So they suit up. They get the cars, they get all the equipment and everything as law enforcement have, and then they talk a good game. It's a difference between talking a good game and walking it. Me, I don't have all of those kind of things or gadgets and all that craziness. The problem is that when you have people out here that don't have common freaking sense. Now, that was a good thing, what they did, in that, I guess, Colbert said Taco Bell. I don't have a problem with that. The problem is when they went, that it elevated from one thing to another thing. You have enough people there to be able to bring that guy into custody without what happened. The problem is common sense did not prevail because maybe it wasn't issued out that day. Why not sit down? You got a person on each side of them. You got two in the front of them. Why not sit down and explain to the guy what's going on and this is why we are here. And we're here for this reason and you need to come with us. Now you're not going to be able to get out of here because we got people outside and we also have us in here. So why don't you just come quietly without making a scene? I think that would have been the best way of handling that.
All right. The simple response is, that wouldn't have made a great YouTube video.
Oh, okay. So the takedown was for YouTube.
I forgot to answer. Don't you think so?
I mean, they're traveling.
Well, then that was a good YouTube video then.
Yeah.
It was the comic of the year.
Yeah, they got
Academy Award for the comic show of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, dressed in pink, with a cameraman in tow. Oh, come on, don't you? No one can tell me they weren't looking for fame and fortune.
Well, here's a problem I have. If you look at it over and over, the way he tried to get away was comical. It wasn't, you know, if someone's in that, you know, fight or flight mode, they're swinging for the, you know, it's almost like he was swatting at bees. It was so funny. It wasn't even like he was really trying to get away, but he was just playing the part. That's my, it doesn't smell right, let's put it that way.
Right. I mean, the guy was fairly large. If he decked a couple of them, they would have probably backed off a bit, I would have thought.
Exactly. Hey, I forgot to answer Rod's question, but first I want to nail him on a comment. He said that he didn't have all this kind of gear that we all got and some of us has gotten, all that bullshit. He's got a pair of pink panties. I seen them. That's number one. And number two. Number two, hell no, Rod.
You son of a bitch. You don't want to tell nobody about my pink panties.
No, I wouldn't work with. No, I'm
Oh, it's on now. Hey, oh, we finna change this show to something else. Oh no, we finna change this show.
You're secure in your manhood.
Let me go somewhere in a secured area. We finna change this whole show. You know, talk about my panties. Oh Lord, I know I got the move now.
Hey, but I didn't say they were pink panties, but I just seen you with a pair of them, that's all.
Oh, hell no. I got them on right now, and I got to move, because the lady just looked down at my ass.
Okay, let's get back to the serious aspect here. I mean, it's arguable that these ladies in pink were in the wrong. It's arguable that they were acting within the law. Indeed, it's possible that they were.
Well, in all fairness, I would say that they were justified, because listen to what they did use. Rubber bullets and the guys escaping. I mean, they did, not like they jumped on top of him and beat him with a lead pipe. It's not like they, you know, according to the video, that, you know, they did what was necessary, and they still lost. He still got away. So it's not like he, you know, he heard him. He's lying there. He got away. He drove, I believe, got in the car and left.
Yeah, there's no argument, Simon. It's not arguably safe to say this or that. Listen, they did not do anything wrong at all. They could have done a hell of a lot worse. The problem is their tack was tacky. But that wasn't tacky.
They did it right. They just that they met up against a person that wasn't going for it. That's it.
Right.
That's right. They did everything right. It's just that they met up against Hercules. He didn't care about those tasers.
Okay.
Here's the problem as an investigator. I'm not sure if you guys saw the second video where they go and actually arrest him at his residence.
Yes.
Oh, they found him again?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they went and got his ass.
Yeah. No. Okay, now, if you look at his face, he's looking at them fine. There's no, he's not blinking his eyes. Both his eyes are wide open. Where does this patch and the bullet come into play? Like, all of a sudden he get, you know, he put back in, he's put back in jail, and all of a sudden now he lost his vision? I mean, come on.
Well, I heard they were being sued over that, wasn't it?
In that second video, all right, which I believe was taken at an apartment that his wife stroke girlfriend and kid lived, they boot the door down, you know, instead of knocking, and they march in, which with what looked like a 12-gauge shotgun. I mean, doesn't that seem just a little over the top?
Well, here's another thing: they didn't secure the room. They went right. They went by everybody else that was around them, and didn't. And there's so many of them. They didn't secure the room, which I thought was kind of funny. You go in, there's multiple people. You want eyes on everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not over the top to have that shotgun. Problem is, the damn thing's loaded with beanbag guns. We already know that the guy supposedly had law enforcement apparel in there and so many guns that he couldn't count. They were everywhere. So, yeah, we went in there with guns, big guns, little guns, all kinds of guns, but they'd have been real guns. You know, I mean, loaded with some effective rounds. No, I think there was a problem all the way through. They talked too damn much, and they let the damn guy control the situation, even at the home. And all the way, it was nauseating. But, you know, here's the thing. They didn't do anything wrong. It's just we don't do that shit. We don't do it like that. We're business, real business, and we control our defendant. And when we lose control of the defendant, that's when we got a no-shit moment. But, you know, nothing was done wrong. That's why the lawsuit didn't go anywhere. And that's why they're not in jail. They didn't break any laws. They did what they do as lipstick bounty hunters. That's what they do. You know, different ones do different shit. But, no, I wouldn't work for them.
Okay, Rod, I'm going to try a slightly different tactic with you. You're in a marginally different place from Cobra and Matt. I know that you do recovery work, but you know you're also involved in the back office side of things, and that there's a great deal of effort being made at the moment to get rid of commercial bail. Hold that thought. We have a caller. Caller from 850. What's your name, or what's your question or comment for us?
Hi there. My name is David. I'm an attorney, and I just wanted to say I really enjoy what you're doing, and I think it's a great service to the public. So I just, not to talk about nothing, I just wanted to let you know that I think you guys are doing great, and I appreciate it.
David, do you work in the bail bonds field, or you're more of a general attorney?
I do criminal law work. I don't work specifically in bail bonds, but I have clients who deal with them all the time, and I don't know. There are so many things that can go wrong in our system already that, you know, having conscientious people as bondsmen, I think, just really helps the process and the clients a lot. So information is good.
Perfect. Okay, Rod, back to you. Forgotten my question now. Oh, yeah. These ladies might not have done anything bad, you know, as in illegal, but there seems to be a number of efforts by states to curtail commercial bondsmen, preferring instead to, you know, keep it in-house, build bigger jails. Politicians making money for their constituents, if you like. And something like the pink, the lipstick bandits don't really seem to be portraying the bail bond industry in a particularly good light. Your comments?
What happened to Rod? Rod?
Simon, I think they really do portray us in a good light. The only problem is, I think what the ladies are trying to do, and I take my hat off to them because I learned from a friend of mine that is the direction and the way to go is to do videos and to put them out there where that some TV show or program would pick it up. I don't think that they are out there putting us in a light where that is shameful. It's just that they are trying to get a TV show. Now, the next part of that question is, I doubt that there's a force out there that's going to actually run commercial bail out, even though pretrial is trying to. The problem is, states will lose a lot of money in their state by getting rid of commercial bail. Because when a person fails to go to court, what happens is that the bondsmen have to pay that fine or fee or whatever the price of that bond. And that money goes to the state. They actually make money from a person failing to appear. Now, if they had a pretrial and a person failed to appear in pretrial, guess what? The taxpayers pays that money. Well, so I guess if they really put it out on the ballot to the taxpayers, do you want the commercial bondsmen to pay that money, or do you want to pay that money yourself? Let's put it to a vote and see where that would go. I think what is happening is that the politicians are sidestepping the taxpayers, because no taxpayer want to the bill for a criminal. That's impossible. It's not going to happen. Matter of fact, I'm in a store right now, and here I can go around and ask any citizen would they want to pay the bill for a Texas. The taxes for a criminal. And I bet you not one person say yeah, unless he's a criminal, of course. But they will lose a lot of money by getting rid of commercial bail. And I mean the state, the local government will really lose out. And that's the problem we're having right now, and that is what Palmetto is doing right now. But we do things quietly and silently when other people go out and boast about what they're doing and what they did. But we go talk to the politicians directly. We go talk to the sheriffs and all the other silent people that is against us. And we talk with them and show them the benefits of pretrial. We show them the benefits of commercial bail. And now you take a peek. Here it is, plain and day. We offering this right here. They are offering, oh, wait a minute, what are they offering? Actually nothing. But here's what we're offering. That's what I mean, Simon. That is called business as usual. That is the problem we're having now, where that you got all this propaganda and bull crap that is put out about commercial bail. And that's the same thing they're doing with the surety companies. It's like Surety 3 offering all these different benefits to the agents. But you got other big-time surety companies that have been in this business for years. You need $20,000 just to come into business to work with them. But you don't need that kind of money coming into the business with us. And tell me, what are they really doing for your $20,000? What are you paying them to do? But this is what Surety 3 is offering, but you always say, oh, they can't do anything for you. But what are you doing for them? This is what we're doing, so tell me, what are you doing? Nothing, absolutely nothing but blowing smoke up their ass. That's what you're doing.
Right, but it all comes back to the politicians.
Absolutely, right. And that's what I mean. The politician is just like the other GAs in this here country, blowing smoke up the American public rear end, and that's what the GAs are doing, blowing smoke up the agents' rear end. You know, Simon, I got a call the other day, just to go off script. I got a call the other day from a GA. Cobra called him a good friend of mine. I just called him a GA. And each time he calls me, he always talking about other GAs or other insurance companies, how this president stole money, how this president is under investigation, how this company just sold their company to a hedge fund, and now their agents are going to be penalized, and their fees are going up, and now this is doing that. And I'm just sitting there listening, and I'm like, well, damn, I'm just a regular Joe Blow. Why is he calling me with this bull crap? And that's something my father always told me. Be careful of those that volunteer information unsolicited. You got to be careful and ask yourself the question, why are they telling you this?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think those are very important questions. But
exactly.
I still think that there are politicians out to basically get rid of commercial bail for the simple reason that they can go to their constituents and say, hey, you know, we're going to create more jobs. We're going to build more jails. You know, we're going to create jobs.
Ooh, Simon, I'm hurting right now from the rear end. What are you doing to me?
Right.
Simon, okay, let's say we create more jobs. We got over 1 million and some people in our county. They create more jobs. What is that, 15 more jobs? 15 out of 1 million. So who all gets those jobs? Maybe family members first? Do anybody really think about the jobs that they're really creating? Building more jails. Building more jails, that means you're going to house more people, so that means you're going to lose more money.
Oh, absolutely. Because, I mean,
you're going to lose more money.
Right. I mean, the politicians touting this wonderful solution never explain that it's you, the taxpayer, that's going to be footing the bill for
footing
all
the
of
bill.
These. Yeah.
And getting it right up the rear.
Yeah. It's a stupid argument. A couple of years ago, I ran some articles on the subject of payday loans, which is another great one for the politicians to yak about. Oh, 300% loans. This is outrageous. Well, guess what? The loan's for 2 weeks, so if you borrow $500, you pay back $550, you're happy, everyone's happy. But no, that's not the way it's portrayed, that this is an evil industry. Now, sure, it's a bit usurious, but many people can't go to the bank and say, hey, my car's broke, can you loan me $500? Yeah, the bank says, nah, you need at least $5,000 to cover the loan. So it fills a gap. And I view commercial bail in a similar light, if you will. Right? You get busted for doing something horrible. And no, I won't use the lizard story. Maybe you did it, maybe you didn't. But the one thing you do know is you don't have $50,000 to bail yourself out. And so a commercial bail bonds company will accept the risk, and you pay 10%, I think it is, or 15% in federal cases. Seem to recall reading that somewhere. Life is good. No one argues. And better still, if you don't turn up for court, you do a runner, someone's looking for you. As opposed to, free on own recognizance, no one's looking for you. Judge says, oh, issue a warrant. And it goes in a database somewhere. And it's only if you're stupid enough to get picked up by the cops for some idiot traffic violation do they realize that you're a wanted man. So I see nothing wrong with the commercial bail system. Anyway, that's just my ramble.
You brought up something important there, too, like the payday loans. Now, if you do borrow that $500 and you pay them back in 2 weeks, you pay that $50 fee, and that's all good. I would also tell you, don't do that Big Sky loans, because if you borrow $10,000 from them, they tell you up front, sure, our money's a little expensive. And they've got a website, if anybody wants to go look at it. You borrow $10,000 from them, I think you owe them about $300,000 when it's all said and done. But you brought up a very important thing about it fills a gap. Here's another thing that commercial bail fills a gap that most people don't realize until they get caught up in the system. If you get caught up in the system on a charge for something and you have to get bonded out of jail, or they decide to give you pretrial, A bond office is typically open 24 hours a day, and they are most amenable schedules. So if you're a working man and you're out on bond, if you need to report in, you can do that after you get off work. Or you could come in and take care of whatever paperwork after you get off work. But if you try to do any of that on pretrial release, after 5 o'clock, they're closed. You're going to lose time during the week or a period of time here and there going to report in to get piss tested and everything else, because we all know that pretrial release is really pretrial probation. You are already guilty of something because you have to report in, take this test, and pay them money on a continual basis. So that's another benefit that fills the gap. Commercial bail is the bondsman is tailor-made for your schedule, and it'll put you through so many hoops, but whatever hoops you do go through, you don't miss any quality time at work to take care of that. So that's another great point for commercial bail.
Matt, you've been very quiet. Do you have any pearls of wisdom?
You're asking the wrong guy here, Simon. No, I'm gonna keep quiet. I've learned my lesson. I'm gonna keep quiet.
Matt, that's probably a sensible answer.
Hey, when in doubt, keep quiet.
Hey, I got a good story for all of you. I found it amusing. Comes out of Tennessee. Khalil Abdullah and Kevin Robinson were arrested November 23rd after police said they kicked the door of a home in on some street looking for a guy, and he wasn't there.
Oops.
Yeah, well, the more important thing is bail enforcement agents pointed guns at the man's wife and children and threatened them.
Ooh.
Eek. They've been... they're cooling their heels in jail, and guess what? They're on a no bond hold.
Oh.
Now, that to me is a clear example of taking things a little bit too far. You know, the lipstick bounty hunters. Maybe trying to make a reality TV series, but this one takes it to new heights. Rod, would you have anything to do with these two characters?
Yes, sir. I would love to speak on that, but first, let me make sure I'm clear on something you said. They went out to pick up a person. They hit the wrong house, and they displayed firearms to the family members that was there. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Well, all I have to say about that, I wasn't there, and I don't think it's fair, and I'm going to tell you why. I've been on raids with the Marshals, Metro-Dade, DEA, and the FBI, not FBI, ATF. And I have watched on different occasions all of those alphabet soup hit wrong houses. I have watched them win in the wrong house, laid everybody down and handcuffed them all. Come to find out the damn house next door. So they had to uncuff everybody and go next door. or across the street. Now, I have watched this with my own eyes. I've been there, and only thing happened to them, not even a damn, I'm sorry, I apologize, any of that. Oops, we got to go across the street. It's the wrong house. And that is what I'm going to say about that. I just don't think it's fair, but I wasn't there. I don't know what happened in there. I don't know what took place in there. I don't know who were they hunting. But if it was just a simple mistake of the wrong address, I don't know what to say. I really don't. I wasn't there.
Okay. My question
agree,
would be,
I agree 100%.
Is, okay, if that was the wrong house, how long did they sit on that house until they came, you know what I'm saying? How long did they actually do some surveillance, or did they go, or did they go and...
See, that's the problem. It don't matter.
Right.
Did they sit a year? It don't matter. Did they sit 5 minutes? It don't matter. Did they sit at all? The problem is they made a mistake.
Okay. So let's move on to another.
Wait a minute.
Reason.
Hold on. Let Cobra X come in on that, because it's just that's just my opinion now. Let Cobra and Matt answer those as well. Comment on that.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you that I wholeheartedly agree with Rod. I have been there on various arrests, and I have been with the U.S. Marshals. I have been with the FBI on a bank robbery situation, and it happens a lot of times. Most of the times we have said, oops, sorry, folks, and step off. But, I mean, you know, it doesn't matter if they were on surveillance or they did surveillance or not. If it was a hot issue and they were, you know, going, you know, here to there, try to get a serious criminal back. If that's all these guys did was hit the wrong house, knock the door in, here's protocol on our side. One, we're buying you a new door. Two, I typically will give you a gift certificate, take your family out to dinner. I apologize that this had to happen to you. However, it happened. You know, we try not to make it happen, but law enforcement has done it numerous times, strictly by accident. That's what we hope, that it was by accident. But I think they'll let him out of jail and move on with it. I think it's a very unfair situation.
Okay. Another story that is fairly recent is right here on my doorstep, Louisiana. A couple of bail bondsmen picked up a fugitive, took him to jail, and jail refused to accept him. Is that an occurrence that?
Is that the one they chained to the gate?
No.
That
one's an old story. bail bondsman got refused and chained the guy to the courthouse door.
Well, Simon. That's funny to me, because that at the Christmas party just the other night, one of the agents came to me with that very, very same problem. And I told them the next time it happened to give me a call, and I will help them with that, because on the 648, we can surrender a defendant even before his court appearance. There are some things we have to do after the surrender, but there is nothing to stop us from surrendering a defendant here in the state of Florida. So I told them to make sure they call me the next time that happened at any jail, so that way I can talk with a commander and let them know person do not have to have a warrant or failure to appear for a bail bondsman to get off bond.
Right. That was what I thought. You know,
that's right.
You know, if the bond is nullified for whatever reason, all right, you can just, you know, walk the guy to the jailhouse and say, hey, we've had enough of him, he's all yours again. And
the guy was packed to leave the country. He was gone the next day. He was already got his ticket in his hand. ready to leave. Done sold out everything, you know, sold everything, and he's ready to leave. He just wasn't going to court. But they wouldn't take him because he hasn't violated any date so-called rules. It's not your rules that matters. It's ours. And you got to understand that it's our rules that matters. It's not what the county or local government says. It's what the state of Florida says.
That's right. Lee County, I posted on Facebook about 3 months ago. John Brennigan and myself were in Lee County, and we arrested this female who the edimeter wanted to go off bond because she was a flight risk. Damn, Rod, I can't hear nothing. But she's a flight risk, and we end up taking her into the Sally Port. I pulled into the Sally Port, and the deputies came in, and they took her inside for a second. Brought her back out and says, there's no active warrants on her. You guys have to let her go. I said, no. We're turning her in. We're putting her back in jail. You can't do that. I said, yes, we can. So they argued with me and ended up they made me put her back in my truck. So we drove around to the front of the jail and took her into the front of the jail to see if they were any smarter. And I'll be damned, they said the same thing. And a bunch of deputies came out and said we had to release her now. Now, had this been a guy, we'd have had our hands full, because as it was, she was demanding to be released and jumping up and down, and it was starting to become a big scene. And finally, somebody with some wisdom figured it out. So what they did was, rather than take them from us, you know, and here's another important thing that people don't know, the jail can't arrest you. So at the jail, being most jails are on city property, they call city police department. The city comes to the jail and arrests the woman, takes her right back around behind the jail, same place we just came from, and puts her in jail. Now, that all got straightened out come Monday morning because some heads were on the chopping block. We were pissed. This created a huge liability for us and an embarrassment as well. But the problem came down to their paperwork. Their paperwork didn't have anything. All these years, they haven't known how to take care of a bond surrender. It's either an arrest or it's a failure to appear, but bond surrender, they didn't know what the hell was going on. So hopefully Lee County has that straightened out now, but that happens all too often, Simon. But one thing to these officers up there in your city, this gentleman apparently appeared to be on some type of drugs or something and kind of stalled him up there for a minute. Now, if we have something like that, we have to take up a case. Rod, holy shit, Rod. We have to take them and get them medically cleared in the event that something like that happens with us, and then we bring them back to the jail.
Right. And you're correct. That was part of the story. The jail claimed that the gentleman was intoxicated. Now, whether that was booze or drugs, unknown. But surely, if I'm a serial killer and I'm pissed out of my mind, you know, the cops are going to arrest me and throw me in jail, you know, as opposed to say, oh, we can't arrest you because you're drunk.
Listen, this happens all too often. Many times I've taken them to jail and they've been high on some kind of dope or drunk, and they're serious warrants. I mean, you know, aggravated battery with a firearm, I'd say that was pretty high on the list, and they flat out refused me. And then when I take them to the hospital, the doctors flip out when I handcuff him to a gurney. And I'm like, you don't understand, man. He goes, no, you can't handcuff him to my gurney. Oh, yeah, we're handcuffing him to that gurney. Or we're taking him to another hospital, or we're taking him to animal clinic. So he's getting handcuffed or something. So, yeah, there's all kinds of stuff that happens behind the scenes that nobody realizes that bondsmen have to deal with and go through. And until you surrender that prisoner back to that jail, he's your liability. And the jail doesn't want your liability becoming their liability, so that's why they put you through these checks and balances.
See, that's the problem that has happened. Is that, and that's another thing that I don't understand, in Cobra incident, that he took a person to the jail. They didn't want to take him. a city police officer had to come out to arrest this person. Now, my question is, what can they arrest that person for?
He had an outstanding warrant that was not our warrant, but an outstanding warrant.
Now, what if he didn't have that warrant?
They were telling us to let him go. Let her go.
You see, and if you let him go, you would have never found him again because he know now.
Well,
you know now
no,
that
you
looking
can't
for him.
Say that. All you got to do is call Leonard Padilla. He can find anyone in 72 hours.
Let me make sure I understand who this dude is. That's that dude from Texas with the cowboy hat.
No, he's from California.
With the cowboy.
Yeah, with the bond the girl out with the child, alleged child death.
Casey Anthony. Please don't talk about that.
Tell him I got something for him to suck over here.
Hey, he's busy. He got a big old feather stuck in his hat now. I don't know where the hell. It looked like a rooster feather or something. I don't know what the hell. He doesn't look up.
Man, I just realized, you know, this is the, okay. All right. Sounds good.
It's all about the cartoon channel. This is a Bounty Hunter cartoon channel.
you know, there's, it's just like any profession. You got police officers, correction officers, jailers, lawyers. You got assholes in every profession, you know. And that's the problem. We got assholes in every profession. And ours, we just have less than the others. That's all.
But, I mean, how do you go about fixing it?
Well, Simon, it's like I was saying earlier. I got a guy. I'm not gonna say his name, but he's down in Miami. He knows who he is. He fixed his little Jeep up, and to me, it's so crazy. I just got a call the other day from a client. Well, not a client, from one of my agents. Who's complaining now about the guy going around collecting money and putting on his lights and all this here crazy stuff. Anyway, I just had to yank his appointment. I told him he couldn't work for us anymore. He got his truck fixed up like a police truck and the fucking guy going around extorting money.
Damn.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
So that's what I mean about you got these freaking guys that got all this equipment and all this stuff and going around. You know, if you want to be a police officer, take your ass to the police academy. That's how I feel about it. If you want to be a bail bondsman, be a bail bondsman. You want to be a recovery agent, be a recovery agent. But don't try to be a SWAT team member as a bail bondsman. That's my only problem. Don't try to be a collection agent as a bail bondsman. See, the police officers got the same problem because I remember when I was there, we got officers pull people over and take their money, make their ass walk home. I remember those days. You know, I remember when you take the drug boy's money, and who they gonna tell? The police? You're the police. So exactly who they gonna tell? I remember those days. But the problem is, just like I said, you got bad apples in every profession. You got lawyers out here charging $10,000 for a $2,000 case and don't give a damn do he win it or lose it, and he trying not to win it because he don't even get to court on time. So, I mean, you got them in every profession.
That's true.
But I'll ask the question again.
And one more last thing. In the biggest profession of them all, that you have them, it's the pretrial service, because they will take any information you give them as God spoke to you. So,
that's some funny shit.
But in reality, how does the commercial bail bond industry fix it fix it all. And I know there are associations. You know, Lord knows I've belonged to many clubs over my life, and I like Marx's comment. I wouldn't belong to a club that would have me.
but, Simon, with that said, Simon, you know, I learned from a kid, it takes a village to raise a kid. Meaning to me is that why don't we start at home? Why don't we start first in the bail bond office teaching the real interns, and then from the bail bond office to their GA. Their GA teaching the bail bondsman who can teach their sub-agents. And from the GA to the insurance company, who's really only dog in this fight is to carry that liability. And if it was me and I owned the insurance company, personally, I have a training officer that will go around and train, number one, all my GAs. And from my GAs, make them trainers who will go and train every sub-agent. And that's how I feel personally, just me. It's just my personal opinion, everyone. Don't get your drawers in the uproar because mine is pink, so I don't have a problem with it. But that's how I would do it if I owned it, the insurance company. But due to the fact that I don't own the insurance company, what I am doing, and I don't, like, here at Surety 3 in Palmetto, we don't brag about the stuff we do. We just do it. What we try to do is teach our agents the correct way, first, to run an office. We don't teach you to do recovery because we really don't want you out there doing recovery if we have to teach you to do recovery. That's
right.
The main thing.
I don't want you
out there if I have to teach you how to do it. That means
if you're bail bonding the right way, recovery is not an issue.
A little bit. And I'm going to tell you why. And then I'm going to let Todd and Cobra speak. I'm going to tell you a little bit why. Like this bond we just caught, or they just caught. That is the number one prime. Matter of fact, he's going to be my poster child. He's the prime example of a good thing going wrong.
Right, that's right.
Yeah, he's my poster child of a good thing going wrong.
Right.
That bond I would have wrote every day in my sleep. Matter of fact, I wish I could have pushed a button and write that. That is what you call a near to perfect bond, because a perfect bond is a bond that been discharged. That's a perfect bond. A discharge bond is the only perfect bond in bonding. I don't care what GA tell you what, or who tell you what. That's the only perfect bond in bonding. And see, that I would have wrote. That's why I said,
Okay,
so Cobra.
Give us the thumbnail sketch of the bond. You don't have to name names or anything else.
Well, here's what Rod's speaking of. This particular bond on the one that we raised from the dead, the lady did everything proper. She secured that bond. She had plenty of collateral to cover that bond. She had the adequate paperwork, signatures, everything she needed. She didn't have static on her phone. She had everything in place properly done. Like Rod said, I don't necessarily like those type of bonds myself, but I would have wrote that bond. That bond is the securest bond you're going to write. Now, what ends up happening is the guy hit it in the wind. Regardless if we would have caught him or not, she should have been, in most case, 9 out of 10 or 99 out of 100, she was 100% covered, to where her nor her insurance company would have suffered any loss whatsoever. However, we have a fiduciary duty that when they knucklehead and take off like that, we have to go get them or try to, you know, try to get them. If we don't get them, we got to at least put forth a serious effort to try to recover them. But like Rod said, that was a poster child Bond right there. I mean, the guy went to great lengths to fake his death and everything else, but the Bond was a good, good Bond. It was almost as good as a Bond that you just got off of. I mean, there's still a little liability floating out there, but there was enough in it to take care of that. So that's a great Bond to look at and say, here's one right here. We did catch him, great. But it, you know, people say, why'd you write that Bond? Oh my God, I wouldn't have wrote that Bond. No, that's a great Bond. If you're in the bail bond business and you're not playing police officer, judge, jury, you don't have any of those hats on, it's an excellent Bond to write, just for that reason.
Okay. I'm looking at the clock. Matt, you've, as usual, have been very quiet. And don't give me the I'm listening to Yoda speech.
He probably is. Where'd you go, Matt?
He's listening to Yoda.
Where you at, Matt? Matt got pissed off and just said, hell with it.
No, there you go. I hit the mute button, my bad. No, he's got a Coburn has a good point. You know, we're getting ready to open up the Bondsman Inc. And in a business such as this, you got to keep that judge and jury mentality out of your mind completely, and focus on how secure the bond is, and stop playing judge and jury and deciding that person's guilty before you even write the bond. You know, and that's a lot of things that a lot of people, good bondsmen that are out there, will write that bond all day, because, you know, like Mr. Dawson said and Cobra said, it's a good bond.
Yeah.
Okay, Rod. I'm not peeking at your pink underwear here, but you must see bonds all the time that you have a sneaking hunch the guy's guilty. That doesn't bother you?
Nope.
Simon, that don't bother me not one bit, because my problem is I have to protect, one, my surety company, which is Palmetto. Two, I have to protect my GA agency, which is Surety 3. Three, I have to protect the bail bond office, which is no hassle or no fault bail bond. And last but not least, I have to protect whoever it is signing that power, because they are the ultimate responsible one. So I got to make sure all my I's are dotted and my T's are crossed. Even if they don't have property or collateral, I still make sure my I's are dotted and my T's are crossed. One thing you can come and audit my office. One thing you will not find in my office is a baby mama bonding someone out. I don't do that because she's the head of her household. I don't allow single mothers to bond someone out. I don't do that. They head of their household. I can't afford that. That is not protecting your bond if you got a single mother coming in there bonding someone out. If you have a single parent bonding someone out with a kid still in high school, that is not a good bond.
Mm-hmm.
Is this or are these lessons you've just learned through the School of Hard Knocks?
These are lessons I learned in the School of Hard Knocks. These are lessons I preach and teach to my agents. These are lessons that I feel all agents should know and understand. Because the court of law, when you have to take them to court, the first thing they're going to look at are they are single parents. Huh, guess what? In the state of Florida, you can't sue a single parent. It's nothing you're going to take from her.
Really?
She's the head of her household.
Oh,
and that's
wow.
the school of hard knocks.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay, I'm looking at the clock, and once again we've gloriously run over time. So I want to thank you all for joining us this afternoon, and I'll give you all a last bite at the cherry, as the saying goes. Cobra, any parting words for us?
Man, I'll tell you what, I should be somewhere else today, and I'm not, because I had to requalify for my gun permits, my shotgun permits, everything else, because there's certain things you got to do in this business to stay legal, and that's what I've been doing today, and I'm glad it's over with. I passed, so I got to go get some fresh bullets, because they made me shoot all my damn bullets.
So, I'm feeling safe that you're not going to be kicking my door down anytime this evening.
Not this evening. I might make it tomorrow morning, but not this evening.
Okay. And Matt.
Yeah, I was there with Cobra. I was Cobra's little Du-boy reloader in between the scenes. So I had the pleasure of the whole day while he qualified. Simon, thank you for having me on the show. Once again, I've learned a lot, and thank you, Rod. I'll be seeing you guys in a little.
And Rod, you get the last word.
Wow, I'm grateful. All I have to say is that this is a great panel. I love your show. Simon and Cobra, I appreciate you guys having me on it. All I have to say is, agents, be careful how you write bonds. If you need any guidance or information, give me a call. I would love to talk with you. You don't even have to join Surety 3. I don't care about that. I just want to make sure you guys stay safe.
And where can people find you? Obviously, you have a website.
Yes, it's Surety, SURETY3.net, or you can call the office at 904-422-9797.
Wonderful. Listeners and panel members, thank you. It's been a great program, and I'm going back to YouTube videos of the lipstick bounty hunters. Boy, they're fun. Until next week. Until next week. This is Simon Barrett wishing everyone a happy, healthy, and safe week. We'll be back again next Saturday. Till then, goodbye.
Ha 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 ha.